Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sorry, I lost my voice yesterday.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
You gonna sue me?
You gonna sue me?
For what?
You better be careful.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna sue Grandy for sure.
What'd he do to you?
Beat me in fantasy.
Well, ain't nothing wrong with that, dude.
Nope.
Yeah,
you
know what?
That's allowed, I checked. I've lost all five of my games.
Well, I'm
all
actually
of them.
I'm gonna sue Lucas and you for peer pressuring me into being in this cuckamamie league in the first place.
Pay the under. I knew you'd get here.
I mean,
I knew you'd get here.
I'm actually not there. I'm just joking around.
I know. What's your record?
I'm 2-3.
You're fine.
16 team league.
It's a long season.
We could all sue Lucas for that.
I'm fine. I'm 0-5.
Whatever,
Grandy. I might win the next eight. Who knows? Who knows? I lost to Guru. Where is he today, by the way? Why is he not here? Is it private?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yep.
All right.
He's back tomorrow.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. Good.
Yep.
But is he listening?
Shut up! I'm not sure. We've been in communication.
Okay.
And I didn't mention the fantasy situation, although
yeah.
I should have.
No, I'll text
Sports,
him here in a second.
Yeah,
I'll text him
yeah.
here in a second. Goo, congrats on your win.
Yep.
But here I am, losing to the worst fantasy team I've ever seen constructed in my entire life.
Well,
wow.
But that's the way it goes. No,
yeah.
Actually, I've changed my view on it. He deserves a ton of credit. If you can continually win fantasy games, when you're essentially giving two roster spots to the opponent automatically.
Two of the nine,
that
right?
You're even more elite than I thought. He's starting people you knew were going to get a zero. You knew. I'm like, of course Jalen Tolbert is not going to score.
It's Jalen Tolbert?
Maybe.
I saw Jay Tolbert, and I was like, that's not Tom Tolbert.
I don't think so.
He had as many points
yeah.
as Tom Tolbert.
There was a Mike Tolbert in the league a few years ago.
Yep.
Whatever. Somebody named Tolbert. I'm like, well, that's a zero. And it was. And then he wins anyway. Because the good people he has went really, really bananas.
Yeah.
One of them's name is Debo. Screw that guy.
I mean.
Thanks a lot. I used to chant your name at football games, Debo.
I am ready to go.
And then you do me like that. Late in the afternoon when I've already moved on with my day.
Tolbert, no comment on that.
He had Tolbert, zero. A. Gibson, Antonio Gibson.
Who should have gotten
3.6.
A zero. Yeah, he got hurt and left.
His defense, minus two.
Yeah, his defense works for me.
Win.
W.
Yeah.
Winning record.
Yeah.
I scored a healthy amount of points, too.
Not bad.
Not enough.
Not bad. Not
whatever.
Enough. Yep.
Whatever. Whatever.
No.
Did he score as many as Dibs?
No,
I have
no
he
idea.
Didn't. Only two people scored more than me, Grandy. One of them is your roommate.
What'd you score?
Like a $130 something.
Oh, that's a good score.
Not enough.
Nice job.
It's not enough.
Hey, you know what?
I scored 144.
Whatever. Nobody asked you.
Yeah, thanks, Grandy.
Turn his mic off. Oh, wait, you're in control.
You know what we should
Never
do?
Never mind.
You know, hey, Lucas, you should think about this. The high school guys did a thing. Because you know how there's always somebody who kind of does what Dibs does, where you get to the end of the year and you're like, my luck was terrible.
Right.
Like, and I was the seventh leading scorer in the league, but I came in last place. Like, there's always that guy. And so we're trying to remove that guy. So instead of six playoff spots, the top six finishers, the top five go to the playoffs, and the last spot goes to the highest scoring other team. That's not in the top five. So you could be in last damn place, but you still got a shot to make the playoffs if you're bad luck Charlie all year. Even you're scoring a ton of points, but everybody you play is scoring more.
Yeah.
If you know, that happens to everybody at least once in their life.
It does.
Yeah. So,
and right now,
something
you,
to think about.
You are.
I'm not that guy.
No, you're the guy who has given up the most points.
Yeah, that's why I'm 0-5.
Right.
My team's not good, but it's not that bad.
No, but.
But I'm. Yeah.
I think
my defense sucks, apparently.
That would be a better way to do it. Like, the final playoff spot goes to the worst defense, the team that had the worst luck, because you've given up, quote unquote, the most points.
Yeah.
So you would, I mean, you would get that spot.
I
not that I'm
it.
Trying to root for you.
No, I get it. People get up to play me. They put their best
sure,
foot
exactly.
forward. You know what I mean? Like, it's a measuring stick.
Exactly.
I understand.
And
I get it.
We can close the book on this. With this, it's not so much that I'm griping. I'm just griping this week because I played him.
Right.
I played Grandy.
Grandy's gripes.
Right.
We can make a segment out of that.
Yeah. Lay off!
All right, let's go to Romney.
Let's go.
Let's go to Romney in San Jose. Hi, Romney. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
can
man.
You hear me well?
We got you.
All right. So I wanted to jump into this so-called, I think it's a made-up controversy. All I have to tell you, remind you, is two words. Nick Mullins.
Keep yeah. going.
Okay,
keep going.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
keep going.
Those are two words.
We're trying to let you cook, Romney.
Oh, sorry. Let me talk. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, though. I know that I really appreciate the comments about how, Shanahan is forced to go into the playbook with a lot of passing. I think what's happened is he had to do it no matter who the quarterback is because, you know, he's got a terrible running game. And so now he's looking deep into it. And maybe for the first time, league is not used to seeing this new kind of play calling on the passing side, you know. That's one thing. And the second thing is they're probably not used to all these new players, so they're not got used to defending this new upstarts along with understanding Mac Jones. He may have 50 games, but he's got only four in a 49ers uniform, which is very different. So maybe I think give it some time before you jump to conclusions that he should replace Brock Purdy, you know.
Oh, Romney, very good. You're absolutely right. Thank you for the call. Like,
just rack that guy.
Go ahead and
yes,
rack that guy.
Rack him.
Yeah, I maybe instead of being like Mac Jones is this and Baker Mayfield's that and Daniel Jones is over here and Jared Goff is this, we brand people, and that's kind of what I mean by the over-individualization of our assessment of
yeah.
these players. Because we brand them. And the truth of the matter is, and this is there's a million examples of this, which is different players will be different versions of themselves depending on where they're playing, who they're playing with, the health of their surroundings, who's coaching them. I mean, you could do a whole documentary. This would be hard, but you'd probably be the man for the job. Like, you could do a whole documentary on where people got picked and how it affected their career. Funny thing is this city has had this conversation many, many times. It's usually with people named Jonathan Kuminga or Jordan Poole or whatever. To a degree, Trey Lance, James Wiseman. When you have somebody who is a high draft pick that gets picked instead of by a crappy team, they get picked by a good team, we go, oh, they got picked in the wrong place because there's nobody there to just give them runway to just be themselves. And it's like, I was looking at it the opposite way. Chances are, if you're a young player and you get drafted by a good team, do you know what that team has? A good coach.
Yep.
Maybe
and good other players,
right,
too.
And so maybe an opportunity for some people who are smart to show you some things instead of getting drafted in. Like, did Jackson Dart get drafted to the right place? They gave him the gig. And actually, Brian Daboll is a really good He's got a great
offensive
history as an
coach,
offensive
yep.
coach. So maybe, but it's not like he's going to go win a lot of games. I don't know what he's necessarily got around him. His top receiver's now got a blown
yep.
up leg.
Yep.
His running back is out. They got a different running back, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. He looks pretty good to me. But I tend to think that I'd rather get drafted by that good team because you have a chance to have some surroundings that will help you be your best.
Especially in football, especially as a quarterback. And I'm thinking about, you know, so many different things that are just going through my head right now. Baker Mayfield, for example, if you look at who he had when he got to Tampa, He had Dave Canales, who's now the coach in Carolina. He had Liam Cohen as a coordinator, who's now a head coach as well. So he got to Tampa. He had Todd Bowles, really good coach, good leader, good coordinators. And all of a sudden now his career goes on a different trajectory. And the other one I was just thinking about, because you talked about doing a documentary on drafted quarterbacks.
Yeah, where you got picked?
I thought about Joshua Ballinger Lippincott Rosen.
Oh.
That's the man's name.
I've never heard those middle names before.
I had not either.
Say those again.
Joshua Ballinger Lippincott Rosen.
Lippincott.
He was taken number 10 by Arizona in 2018. And his first year with the Cardinals, you know who his coach was? I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
Steve Wilks.
So
defensive coach.
Right. And they were 3-13. Then he goes to Miami the next year, and it's Brian Flores with the coordinator was a guy named Chad O'Shea. I don't know if that's the guy who founded the casino in Vegas, O'Shea's.
Oh, rest in peace.
Yeah, but O'Shea.
Yeah.
No, it's still there.
I know, but not.
It's there. It's been reinvented.
No, yeah.
It's not the same.
In a terrible way. It doesn't exist anymore.
No,
there's nobody in there.
It's just different. Oh, no.
No.
Have you been there recently?
Yeah, yes, I was just there last year.
There's beer pong.
They used to throw a party when you had a blackjack and they'd give you a hat. And a little one of those party blower, like one of those things.
Yep.
They used to do that when you got a blackjack. And there's no party in there anymore. Nobody's in there doing anything.
There are young people in there playing beer pong.
Yeah, that's not what we're looking for.
My point is Joshua Rosen, Bellinger, Lippincott, whatever. He ends up going to Atlanta, and Arthur Smith was his coach, who's not a very good coach. So I'm not saying that Josh Rosen is the Rosen one, as we all say. Oh, he's the chosen one.
Oh, boy.
And he was in the same draft, I believe, as Mark Sanchez. But might have been after.
That feels late. Yeah, Rosen was after Sanchez.
Anyway,
just wanted so badly to get his name into this show.
Oh, no,
tonight.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Well, that's going to be your last chance. So anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, the point is, quarterbacks who are drafted into situations, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad or the situation is bad or whatever.
Rosen was in the same draft as Darnold. Also, I think
that's what I meant.
Baker Mayfield,
and
right?
Baker and Lamar and Josh Allen.
Lamar was the one at the very end of the draft.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or the round. Yeah.
I'm sorry. End of the round.
You're fine.
All right.
Yeah.
We're sponsored by Inn at the Tides at Bodega Bay.
Do it right.
Who loves Zinfandel? Do you love Zinfandel? More of a Pinot guy? Anyway, don't miss Dinner with the Winemakers at the Inn at the Tides.
Thank you.
At Bodega Bay. October 24th, join Queen of Zinfandel, Carol Shelton, for an unforgettable night of food, wine, and coastal charm. Visit innatthetides.com. Space is limited. But this show is not. We've got unlimited space for you. 888-957-9570 is the number. Anybody looking for Mac to keep playing even after Brock Purdy is healthy? Have you gone that far? This is Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You bastard! I love you!
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, that rant from Joe Shasky was something so out of the ordinary. And with that, I give you Alice in Winterland is back. And Alex Warren will be headlining the show.
Awesome.
Some of you got the reference. Probably went over the heads of most. That's okay. It wasn't a great reference.
Okay.
But Alex Warren, Rob Thomas, John Kay, Alice in Winterland is back Thursday, December 4th at the Masonic, which is an unbelievable venue. Okay, so our friends at Alice 97.3 made a huge announcement today, and we want to let you know about it. So again, Alex Warren, who I love, I'm already working back channels to see if I can make this show. December 4th, Thursday at the Masonic. Pre-sale starts Wednesday at 10 a.m. with a pre-sale gift. Pre-sale code of gift. Pre-sale code is gift. Buy tickets at RadioAlice.com or Ticketmaster.com. Public on sale Friday, 10 a.m. at RadioAlice.com. So if you want to do Wednesday at 10 a.m., you got the pre-sale code gift. And then they're on sale to everybody Friday, 10 a.m., RadioAlice.com. Alice in Winterland is back, and that's a jamming lineup.
Awesome.
Yeah, love that. Love that, love that. Okay, 888-957-9570. Just a phenomenal weekend for the 49ers.
Sure.
I do want to make sure that we've got a lot of that in our repertoire today, that this is incredible.
I think the Cardinals used the promo code GIFT in their game.
Very well
to Tennessee.
Played. They sure did.
Yeah,
because
I don't know if I've ever seen, and we did this on the crossover before, about, I'd have to think long and hard about other games in professional sports that were that gifty, because you had a guy running by himself for a touchdown. He dropped the ball, and it was a touchback. He didn't score. And then you had a turnover that you got, and then you immediately gave it up, and your own teammate kicked it in the end zone for the other team to recover?
There's no way for your words to do justice of the two plays you're talking about. I just want to invite everybody, open up an internet window near you, wherever you want, and go look at these two plays that Dibs is talking about. DeMercado becomes the second player this year to basically just give the ball away before he crosses the goal line in a walk-in touchdown. Adonai Mitchell did it for the Colts a couple of weeks ago
right at
L.A. against the Rams, blew that game. This absolutely would have ended the game. It was start of the fourth quarter, would have been 28-3, game totally over, but he flips the ball right as he's crossing the goal line, and it goes out the back. Tennessee gets the ball. They stay in the game, but later in the game, Cam Ward threw a tipped ball that got intercepted, and then as the interceptor stood up, he dropped the ball. And then it basically looked like a bar of soap was rolling around at the bottom of a shower. And someone kicked it. It squirted over there. Somebody else grabbed it. It flew through four Cardinals and ends up in the end zone. Titans fall on it. They were still losing. And then they still had to go down and score again, which they did. But you'll give yourself a laugh and a wow if you go watch these plays. You're right. Arizona gagged one worse than I've seen anyone do all year.
They're up 21-6, and DeMercado runs 72 yards for a...
Gone.
Right. So you'd be up 28-6 at that point with 12 minutes to go. It's night-night, but instead, no, it's a touchback, and Tennessee scores, and then you punt, and then you have a way to, buck up, and you're able to get... You're able to get a stop when you need a stop, and it's an interception, but you fumble, and then they score again. It just, the whole thing was Keystone Cops, and it's a long way to say, what a weekend for the Niners.
Tremendous.
Seattle lost to a really good team, and you get to play that really good team. You beat the Rams. Arizona spit up all over themselves. Philadelphia, that wasn't a choke job, but that was kind of a head-scratcher.
Yeah.
Denver's good.
But it's 17-3 in the fourth quarter. You're building, and you're the best running team anyone's ever seen, and you haven't lost a football game
in
the last 17 times that you've put on a uniform.
Actually, 20 times if you count the playoffs. They've won 20 of 21 counting the playoffs. Philadelphia.
Really?
I think that's the number.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd have to look that up.
I thought
17 was including playoffs.
I think it was Nance and Romo.
I could be wrong.
You know, that's right, Jim. And, you know, they didn't choke it, but they had 12 different ways to win that game. Denver could not score. Believe me, as a guy who has Cortland Sutton on his fantasy team and R.J. Harvey on the bench and Evan Engram as well, they did nothing. And then yet you'd let them keep hanging around, right?
Yep.
And they hung around, and that's the way that went.
Yeah, just incredible. I'm actually looking, maybe it's with Hurts playing or whatever. The Eagles actually lost to the Washington Commanders on December 22nd last year, week 16. So I don't know where this, that number must be with Jalen Hurts. They had not lost in whether it was 17, 20, whatever it is. Yeah. I'd have to go count it up. Because Jalen Hurts did not play in that game.
The number that I gave was 20 of 21.
20 of 21,
and that includes
right.
that game I think that
with,
they lost.
But I think with Jalen Hurts, they literally had won. Here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then the four in the postseason. So that's 14. And then go to this year, where there had been four. So I'm seeing it as 18 games in a row when Jalen Hurts starts.
Yeah, Hurts actually started that game against Washington, and he...
Well, okay.
Yeah,
he got knocked out.
Four passes, and he's out. But the thing that I heard from, I think it was Nance and Romo, who were on the game this weekend, by the way, the big game down there in Tampa, 20 of 21,
incredible.
Including the playoffs, and yet that was the way you lost that game, where you have this great running back who was... absolutely epic last year, and you don't run him at all?
Six carries and 11 carries for the team in a game where
11 carries.
11 carries.
Oh my God.
And only two for Jalen Hurts, six for Saquon Barkley, and you're up by 14 in the fourth quarter. I didn't get it. I did not understand it. Anyway, back to our listeners, 888-957-9570, Kirk in Los Altos Hills. Hi, Kirk. What's going on, man? Thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me. No, I just called in response to what you posited was the question as to if Mac Jones was still healthy or after Brock Purdy got healthy and he came back and was ready to go, would you stick with Mac Jones? And my question is a resounding and absolute yes. I think that's my opinion. I'm no football guy, really, of great import, but I've just watched the way he plays, the way he throws. He's tall enough to see over the defensive line, and he's got pizzazz on his throws, and they're accurate, and he's a leader, and Purdy is, too, to a certain degree. And I will admit it, it's a close race, so to speak, but, yeah, if it were me, I would, even after, as long as Mac Jones is upright and healthy, I would stick with him absolutely.
You've watched Mac Jones now play these three football games. You've watched Brock Purdy, if you're a Niner fan, for better part of four seasons, two of which have ended up in at least the NFC title game. And off of these three games that the 49ers won, these one-score games, you've decided that Mac Jones is clearly a better presence than Purdy back there.
I would say I'm no scientist. I don't have enough. That's not enough power in the analysis to make that absolute conclusion. Nor would I say that he's clearly, the one to pick. It's just that if I had to choose, he would be my guy. No. And I just think Purdy is, prone to injuries to a certain degree. We've seen Jones's toughness. If I were I'm getting way over my skis here. But yeah, if everything stayed the same and Jones was healthy and he was looking good, I'd package up all that money you gave Brock Purdy and see if there was another club that needed a quarterback.
Yeah, Kirk, thanks, appreciate it. Yeah, you don't need to qualify the opinion with all the just my opinion, and I'm no football person.
Sure.
Like, we're all just, everything's all welcome here. That's fine. I don't understand, first of all, the idea that you could package up Purdy and another team, or Mac, quite frankly, is going to be dying for it, the rest of the league comfortably sees the same thing all of you do, which is that no, they wouldn't be as good without Kyle Shanahan. They wouldn't. And that's okay. That's okay. That's what I would love to get to. I'd love to get to a spot where somehow that's not a criticism of the quarterback. Because I know where people's minds will go when we say that. Well, then why would you pay him? Because not everybody comes in and runs it at that level. Is everybody maybe the best version of themselves? is everybody able to maybe win football games? I mean, I wouldn't even say that. No, not everybody is able to win football games. But a lot of good quarterbacks can come in and win football games without saying, actually, they can take us all the way to the end. The biggest flaw in the whole argument that I hear from people right now is that you've decided based on three early season narrow victories that Mac Jones has something that Brock Purdy doesn't, when Brock Purdy has already shown that in this system, he is a quarterback who not only wins football games, but maneuvers through the playoffs and gets all the way to the end. That is not proven for, quite frankly, I mean, I guess you could say Garoppolo did it once, maybe even multiple times. He won playoff games. But that has not been, we've got no evidence of that on Mac Jones. And I find it to be wild how quickly that history under Brock Purdy has gotten brushed aside through this first month of the season.
Well, the history, I don't think, is what people are looking at. It's a small sample, and it's got people thinking about what if. What if you didn't give Brock Purdy $53 million a year, and what if you just decided to roll with what you have here? And I know Brock Purdy wouldn't have come back and played whatever. Maybe you would have given Brock Purdy 1 year and $30 million and or 1 year and $50 million, whatever the contract would be. Yeah. Let's put the contract aside. I do think the hypothetical that people are wrestling with is, what if you had Mac Jones and Brock Purdy and the contract wasn't the thing? Like, what would you want going forward? Would you want Mac Jones for a bargain, or would you want Brock Purdy for $265 million?
Brock Purdy.
Right. I don't think everybody agrees with you.
But I'm not trying to go 4-1. I'm trying to win the Super Bowl. This is the big thing, and it sucks. It sucks so bad because Mac has been so impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Mac has been such a warrior. Such a warrior. I don't want to do anything that diminishes how incredibly impressive this is. But all of you who think this way are taking three early season victories, one by three in overtime, one by one against the Cardinals, and one by five against the New Orleans Saints. You're taking those three victories, and you are now deciding that that is evidence of Super Bowl-level prowess. And I think that that's absolutely crazy. What have you seen? We were exhausted and amazed Thursday night.
Yeah, yeah.
Super Bowls are not built off of, wow, how the hell did we do that? Super Bowls are built off of, yeah, dude, eat that. We just came into your building and showed you what's up.
Well, we don't know what Super Bowls are built off of here.
Yes, we do.
It's been forever.
Yes,
we do. It's been 30 years.
Dibs, come on.
But
you're with me. He's been right up against the end of the season twice.
Sure.
In a very, very early career.
He has.
And when those seasons were rolling, we were watching a football team that was pounding people.
Right.
They were strutting into people's buildings like what?
Well, you didn't strut into Philly, and then his injury proneness.
I think you did strut into Philly.
Well, I mean,
I think you did.
You didn't have the lead till Josh Johnson got you in the end zone. And
he got hurt. He did strut into Philly once.
He got hurt.
Kicked Philly's
butt. The regular season.
Yeah, I understand. But we don't have
your point is about the playoffs. And so
yes.
I think that it's right for people to wonder, especially for next year when the 53 kicks in, what could that $53 million actually mean? And you and I were talking during the break about Deebo Samuel, and turns out Deebo has not lost a step. He actually might have gained a step. And I don't know how much of yesterday you watched. Actually, I do. You watched all of it because you're a junkie.
Yep.
You are like the people I pass by on my way to walk to the parking garage. You're a junkie.
I got no reason to not be there, dude. Like,
Deebo Samuel is, he did not lose a step.
No.
And so I'm not saying that he was a cap casualty. He was a casualty of a lot of different things. But next year, if you had that $53 million, could you not think that you'd be a better team?
You're allowed to think that,
right.
And that's completely fair. I just think that there's kind of an intricate answer to that because it's kind of like you look at the way the earth is built, right? Like at the core, you have to have at the core somebody who has the ability to take this outfit all the way. You have to have that.
And that's Kyle Shanahan at the core, right?
Agreed. Yeah. But then the very next piece of that is going to be the quarterback.
That's the mantle.
And so I look at it as you've already got proof of concept. I know he doesn't have a ring, but you have proof of concept of getting to the end, moving all the way to the end with Brock Purdy. You don't have that proof with Mac Jones. Does Mac need all this stuff to go? Does Brock need all of these things to go right around him? Yes. Yes, yes. You have to have good teammates. You have to have relative health. I'm so glad you brought up Deebo Samuel. Deebo is a wonderful example to me of what we're talking about today. Why did Deebo Samuel suck last year? Because now I'm going to take away from you the idea that he's dust and that he's lost it and that he's washed. We have a thousand text messages in our archives.
Yeah.
Deebo is washed.
It's because of Brock Purdy, Mark.
But he's not washed. So why did Deebo stink last year?
Because they all stunk. Like, the offense was not good.
Why did they all stink?
I'm going to point the finger at Brock Purdy.
Why? No, you're not. You're being sarcastic.
I'm totally being sarcastic.
Because everything with the organization was rotten from the inside out last year for about 132 different reasons.
The majority of them were not good last year.
Right.
Like Kittle was good. And, that might be the end of the list. Yeah. Juwan was awesome.
Your defense stunk. Your defensive coordinator was in over
his head. Your running back was hurt.
Your running back was hurt. Your star receiver dragged the whole organization through a thing.
Your tackle missed a bunch of games.
All of it. We don't need to redo history. Nope. You all were here. So when you come out of last year and what you come up with was, well, Brock wasn't very good. That's like somebody putting a 7-course meal in front of you. You take one bite of a little cucumber and you don't like it and you're like, crappy meal. You got to look at this whole damn thing. Sure, Brock was kind of mediocre last year, and there are reasons for that. And this put a cape on and just grab crappy organization and take it to the promised land by yourself because we paid you thing is cartoonish.
It's rare.
It doesn't exist.
Well, I mean, Mahomes has kind of done that. And he did it with a great offensive line and a great defense and the best defensive coordinator in football. So,
great coach.
You and I always talk about complimentary football. And last year is a great example where your defensive coordinator was not ready for the job and your defense wasn't good enough. Your offense struggled. You had injuries. And this year, you've got a great defensive coordinator who is doing a lot of good things with your defense. And so, yeah, Mac Jones looks better now than Mac Jones would have looked last year. I totally agree with you, but I just wonder about, what fans would think about $53 million for a quarterback when your replacement is, he's not as good as Brock, but he's close enough to where $53 million might be poorly spent.
Here's what a lot of people would say, and I don't know how you'd answer this. Actually, someone just texted it to us. Boxer and Gerson, Work Injury Attorneys, text line 925. I just don't think Purdy is $45 million better than Mac Jones. These contracts are so overinflated, you can say that's just the going rate, but in my opinion, Brock, and most quarterbacks for that matter, are not worth that much of a percentage of the cap. All right, so if you looked at me and said, hey, is Brock $45 million better than Mac? No.
Of course not.
But I don't think that's relevant. Because all Brock has to be is this much better than Mac. And I'm holding my fingers pretty close together.
It's pretty small.
That's it. I don't care about the money. The question you should ask yourselves is Mac Jones, have you seen something that tells you Mac Jones is good enough to go to a bowl? I haven't. I could be wrong, but I've not seen something that tells me, I bet that guy could lead a team to a Super Bowl. I don't need to ask that question with Brock Purdy. I already know it to be true. Even though he did not win the ring.
Right. So he got there with an amazing cast of characters who all were healthy.
And often, whoever goes to the Super Bowl has an amazing cast of characters, just like Jalen Hurts did last year. Jalen Hurts has an amazing, like a freaking amazing, the best offensive line in football, the best running back in football, a 30 million receiver over there and a 25 million receiver over there and a phenomenal tight end and a great defense and all of it. He had all of those things. It's okay to be surrounded by greatness. It does not make you weak. I know Brock Purdy can go to a Super Bowl. So if he can and Mac can't, then that to me is worth infinity. Is he 45 million more or better? No. No, but I don't think that's the question we're asking.
But we don't know that Mac can't, and we didn't know that Brock could until Brock did.
Correct, but now you do. Right. Now you do, and are you willing to give that up for the maybe, even if you admit, he looks about $3 million worse. Okay, what if that $3 million is the difference? Because this is all a game of inches.
But it's $45 million different.
Whatever.
So that's
whatever.
It's a big difference.
Okay.
And the answer is yes, I would be willing to take that chance. And, you know, I was in...
Really?
And I don't want to be too personal about it, but I was in a marriage that was... It was great. I mean, it was good. I mean, it was fine. It was... You know what it was, Mark? It started out elite Super Bowl level, and then by the end, it was like a 10-7 season.
Okay.
Playoffs. It was
okay.
Like, it was the Mike Tomlin of marriages. We had Big Ben early, and we won a bowl. And after that, we were always good. You know, we were always good. Well, but I wanted to go out there, and I wanted to get that.
You wanted 13-4. To go be great. Yes.
I wanted that 15-2. So
are you asking me to win the game?
Thank you. I would roll those dice if I believed in it. And this is all hypothetical because it's too late now because you put a ring on Mac. But I mean, you put a ring on Brock. But
yes.
Yeah, I'm not afraid to roll the dice on things. You know that about me.
Yeah, but I could take the point you just made and spin it the other way as well, which is that like you left a marriage that was like, is good. It was good, but I wanted great. Maybe that's actually what the 49ers did here. Like Mac Jones on the Niners, he can be good. He can be good, but we're willing to pay for what we believe is going to be great. Or, quite frankly, we have already seen that given the right situation is great. Because that's what Brock has shown. Like Brock, 2 years ago, was legitimately great. He was in the MVP race for crying out loud.
So, until Christmas.
Until Christmas. Right. So all of these things get baked into the conversation. I completely get what you're saying. And I don't think it's nuts if what you want to say is, I'll take a dip at the QB a little lower so that I can build more around him.
Right.
That's a philosophy. I wouldn't do it. Maybe you would. But I don't think the question is Brock 45 million better than Mac? Of course not. Of course he's not. But maybe he's only a million better than Mac. But that's the million that could get you over the top.
Or it's the $44 million like, that could cost you.
Maybe. Is Steve Kerr, $15 million better than Mark Jackson? Well, you just needed something to spin it little bit further. A little bit further, and then you became a dynasty. No?
I don't love the comp, and I'll address it on the other side.
Okay.
But,
all right.
Yeah.
All right. A lot of people want to weigh in. So here we come. We're 888-957-9570. We're taking your calls right now. We're going straight to you. So Jeffrey and Rich and Eric, stay right where you are. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good, Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I'm proud of you.
Why?
Because I think we actually have found maybe a healthy spot for this conversation. Because I largely think most of it's unhealthy.
Wow, okay.
Well, no.
Yeah. It's like sugary cereal. You love it, but it's unhealthy.
Boy, my house is filled with it. But
yeah,
anyway.
Not mine, sadly.
Well, God, when they get those driver's licenses, sometimes they go off to the store themselves.
Yep. And you'll see them
in the aisles.
That's right.
And then they've got a job and a car, and they'll come back with all of their Captain Crunch berries and It's like I got an 11-year-old over here, and we're trying.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And nothing against Crunch berries.
No, it's elite.
Right. I want that to be a treat.
I'm going
to
eat it.
Okay?
Not a staple.
I don't want it in the house every day. How about once a month? Not every day.
Yep.
Right? Always, like, just look at the milk when the cereal is gone. And does it still look like milk?
Yeah.
If it doesn't, that's a treat.
Yep. If the milk is pink, then you need to think.
Put it in the sink.
Right.
Yeah.
That's better.
Anyway.
I panicked.
All right. No.
You're proud of me. Go ahead.
I'm proud of you because you've guided me to a spot where I think this conversation actually lives, which is not to say, oh, should they bench Purdy? Silliness. Is there a QB quarter controversy? Of course not. Is Mac Jones the future? Bananas. Like all of these things, like I don't know what the future holds as far as these guys' health. I do think it's funny that people are only worried about Brock's health. Mac Jones is like dry heaving on the sideline.
Right.
And nobody's worried about his health. Nobody's got any questions about his health. But the conversation lies in the scenario that you just kind of threw out there and that we were talking out. And it is this. Do you think for the future of the 49ers, or quite frankly, any team, is the idea, hey, let's find a good quarterback and let's do $50+ million because the quarterback is the quarterback? Or would you rather constantly be fluid at that position, therefore spending way less money on the quarterback, see if you can find somebody who's going to win some games for you, and then bolster the rest of the roster with all of that money? Now, I would absolutely pick if you got somebody who could take you to a Super Bowl, I'm fully okay with $50 million for that player. And here's the reason why. Even if you loved Mac, and let's say Mac would win all of the overtime games, and he's going to take you to the promised land. All right, now what do you do next year? Because what the hell do you think Mac's going to ask for if he takes you to the Super Bowl? He will be in a contract year next year. What exactly do you think he's going to do? Oh, well, I'm just so thankful to the organization. I'll show up for $4 million. Nope, that's not the way. So you, at a certain point, you're going to have to address this unless you feel like you can just make this a relay race and have people handing batons to each other every year or two.
But if you have this elite head coach who is the quarterback whisperer and he got Sam Darnold paid and then he got paid again and now Mac Jones comes in and he's looking good. So yeah, why not go ahead and just kick the can down the road and don't pay a guy $53 million who is good when you can find pretty good for $4 million and have him be pretty good. And then you find the next pretty good and you continue to build your roster around him, and you have a team that's much more complete than what you have now.
I mean, it's
risky.
The answer is that you're not going to bat 1,000 on finding the guy to come in and actually still win games for you.
But you'll bat 900 if you're Kyle Shanahan.
Will you?
Absolutely.
He drafted C.J. Beathard. He drafted Trey Lance. Like, I don't know where the evidence is that you'll bat that. Like, so far, prior to Mac Jones, the sum total of what we got is Jimmy and Brock. That's it.
You found Jimmy. You made Jimmy into something that he's never been again.
Correct.
And you brought in Mac Jones, and Mac Jones, so far, he's undefeated.
Yes.
And you had Sam come in, and Sam gives all his praise to Brock Purdy.
He does.
And Brock learned from Kyle, so, you know, and Kyle gets credit for everything else he did previous to this as an offensive coordinator. Matt Schaub was never as good as Matt Schaub was under Kyle. So I do think that, like, there's a lot to that.
Yeah, you don't need to sell Kyle to me.
I'm not.
But I mean, you know, the other side to it is Sam Darnold is a wonderful example. What happens when a QB comes in and you're like, and he didn't even play. He didn't even play for Kyle Shanahan.
Once, and he lost.
Exactly. But Sam Darnold, okay, this was like a pivot point in his career, right? Well, as soon as it happens, where does he go? He leaves. And he goes to Minnesota. And Kevin O'Connell kind of did what you're suggesting. Let's just bring Sam Darnold in here. And we'll ham and egg this thing. and Sam Darnold has a wonderful year, and the Vikings go 14-3. Flames out in the playoffs, but whatever. He went 14-3. Then what happened the very next year? Gone. So now what? You're going to go do it again? And are you gonna bat that kind of an average where you honestly feel like he could just almost bring in anybody and do this? These guys do not grow on trees. So I just think there's a lot of holes in this concept, and it would be pretty hard to make it a reality and have your team be relevant every year.
It would be easier to make your team relevant if you had that $50 million extra to go ahead and spread around. And this is where I think about the Trey Lance part of it, where you gave up two draft picks, two first rounders to move up and get Trey. I know it was three, but you got one back, so you get my point. But wouldn't you like to have those two first round picks on this team?
You
didn't miss on them, Kinlaw and Reuben Foster. Assume that you actually hit on those first round picks, you'd love to have them. And so I think about $45 million extra dollars next year under the cap, you could sprinkle that around and have an extra pass rusher and bring in a left tackle.
But who's your QB?
Right.
Let's say they didn't do the Trey Lance
Jimmy Freshbody.
Ugh, like, that's hard, man.
It's not hard when you're the quarterback whisperer.
It is hard.
You've got this laminated play sheet, and you turn coal into diamonds, then go find some more coal make a diamond.
Jimmy was already a veteran when he got here. He was.
He started two games.
And he had played under Tom Brady. Like, if we're going to give credit to people who you learn under, then there's something to be said for that. Right? Brock Purdy comes in, he was a rookie. I happen to think he's pretty special. So there's that. But outside of that, all the examples of what you're talking about, I don't know how they would have worked. And if they're rookies all the time that you're bringing in, whew. Like, because the rookies, even the good ones, man, it takes a second usually. It takes a minute. I like the way Jackson Dart looks. He's not going to win anything this year.
No.
He's not going to win. Right, so
Jackson Chart yesterday, am I right?
Well,
a lot of turnovers.
Yeah, they weren't all on him.
I stand by it, Grandy. And I just was watching your fantasy team. I was watching all the fantasy team. I'm like, he started Jackson Dart. And then
Jackson Dart.
Sure.
Joe Burrow was my QB.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
That's a tough break.
There
are
enough younger veterans out there that you can go ahead and repurpose this thing. You could go grab somebody else's backup and slap them in there.
That's tough.
Let's go, Shanahan.
That's tough. You guys are asking. That's asking a lot. All right, let's go to Rich in Los Altos. Hey, Rich.
Hey, guys. Thanks for letting me on. I'm really liking the show today. First of all, if I could say real quick, I mean respectfully, of course. I don't like the narrative that blaming everyone for Trey Lance. That was a huge catastrophic injury he had. And had he not had that, I don't think everyone can say for sure that he'd be a bust. I'm not prepared to say that. It was bad circumstance. But, I mean, that injury, he is a miracle. He can walk almost. Anyway, but as a side note, I think the reason the guys like Brock Purdy and just a handful of guys get the $50 zillion a second is because basically you got to be born. You can't throw a duck. You know, you can't. You saw it with, I mean, Jimmy G didn't throw ducks. He had a pretty nice deep ball, but you know that mid range, the thing floated. That's my problem with him all the time, and that's Mac too. So I think these games are barely winning against not too good of teams. I mean, I know the Rams are legit, but I mean, look at Stafford the other night. You saw like when he was on the play, that's major league quarterback. You know, just 30 yards, 20 yards, 20 yards. So, and I think that's the difference between Brock Purdy. So when you're going to go against teams like Philadelphia and you know the big boys these days, you need it's a no-brainer. You need one of those guys. And like you said, those guys don't grow on trees. But Mac Jones, I mean, he got to study same as Jimmy G under the same guys, right? So he had a lot, came with a lot of benefit, and he's obviously a smart guy. And, I mean, he's cool. I'm not bashing him by any means, but I think it's just a silly talk. That's why the league isn't paying him $50 zillion. Anyway, I don't want to turn this into negative. That's all I got. Yeah. I want to keep listening.
Right. Yeah, Rich, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, 888-957-9570. I mean, again, like, I get where you're coming from. I think a lot gets asked of the quarterbacks and the head coaches in this league. You are now suggesting we ask even more. Like, now you're asking a coach basically every 3 years, go find somebody new, and you're asking that quarterback to pick up a very complicated system in now a condensed period of time. Like, come in and be amazing right away. And then, and I know we're in a hypothetical space, I also think this would be very, very bad for the team's PR around the league with other players and agents. Because there is absolutely the idea of, if somebody comes in and does really well, you take care of them. Like, I don't think players, free agents and whatnot, and teammates, I think teammates would hate that. I'm going to go play for the team that's swapping out their QB every 2.5 years, even if he wins. I have no idea what's about to happen next. So I just think that I get the financial side of what you're all saying. It does not feel realistic to me as an actual approach to their business.
It depends on how you go about it. And I think about Seattle, who is now on their third quarterback in the last 4 years. They had Russ, and they got to a spot where they thought that he was not good anymore, and they were right. And so they brought in Geno Smith for a couple, and then they didn't want to pay Geno, so they brought in Sam Darnold. And so that team has been able to do exactly kind of this, which is go from an aging veteran to another veteran to another veteran. And I don't know who's going to come behind Sam Darnold, but Seattle right now is a team that is still competitive, still winning.
Competitive.
Right.
Competitive.
Well, what are the Niners?
The Niners have been deep in the playoffs twice, actually three times, four times under Kyle Shanahan.
Right, but
the
only Seahawks, twice, like, under Brock Purdy.
Yes.
And so,
yeah, he's only played for, this is only his fourth year. Like, right. I'm not going to look at Seattle and be like, they're doing it right. Like, that's not, they're not relevant. They're okay. They might sneak into the playoffs and get blasted in round one, but they're not threatening anybody, and they won't this year either. I don't think.
And will,
I don't believe
will the Niners
won't.
Threaten anyone this year?
Maybe. Maybe if they get all their guys back, maybe.
Right.
I mean, they're 4-1.
Sure.
They're 4-1, and they've built that while they have nowhere near their best pitch. Seattle has been largely healthy. They're 3-2. No, he's good. He's solid.
Right.
I don't think he's going to win a bowl. I don't think that they, at any point.
Well, I don't think either one of these teams will win the bowl.
I have no idea what the Niners are going to become when they get their people.
I would say they both are going to be in the playoffs, Seattle and the Niners, I would bet.
That's going to be.
And, you know, you look at
three teams coming out of the West.
Right. You look at three wild cards. And if I look at the East, well, I don't think that the Giants or Dallas are going to be in the playoffs. Washington's a maybe at this point.
Yep.
The North, you've got Detroit and Green Bay. Okay. Minnesota and Chicago, no. The South, please. You're a one bid conference. You always are.
No, if you're
and so then you need two more, and those two, they come from the West.
No, if the West gets three, then you're automatically saying either Green Bay or Washington's not going.
Right.
Okay.
Right, Washington. They're not going.
All right.
And I mean, Washington's win yesterday was.
I think Washington's going.
Nice, nice win.
I think Washington's going. Let's give them some credit. They're 3-2, and they've lost their QB for two games, too.
Right. And they got him back, and they beat a Charger team that was
really good,
but really bad yesterday. And, you know, now they don't have a running back, and they don't have a tackle. And that offense yesterday, the Chargers offense, was not very impressive.
It's unfortunate. Yeah, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.